What's up, everybody? My name is Preston Murray. I play point guard on the basketball team and corner on the football team at Damascus High School, and now I play football at Georgetown University. I really believe that Lead 'Em Up helped the bond on both teams in high school become much stronger and allow the natural-born leaders to step up, as well as maybe people who usually don't see themselves as leaders. Our basketball team kind of struggled in the past, but my senior year we made the regional championship, and I truly believe that Lead 'Em Up played a major role in our success because when times would get tough, Lead 'Em Up gave us the tools to be successful in those hard times. From doing Lead 'Em Up, I personally learned that to be a true leader, you have to put your teammates and the overall success of the team before yourself and your own stats. I'll never forget the energy that Adam brought to every session and the memories and laughs I shared with my team during Lead 'Em Up.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Today, I'm joined by Coach Rastogi, our Northeast Regional Coach with Lead 'Em Up, and we're going to be discussing what does it look like to implement and build a leadership program in your program. Coach, over the years of working with coaches and helping them create and build leadership programs in their program, I found a common theme amongst almost all of my interactions. And that theme is the coach has a desire to do more. They have a desire to be more intentional from a leadership development standpoint. But in almost every instance, they leave it up to me to determine the specifics of how that program should look. Okay, so they have a desire to do more. Get it. They have a desire to be more intentional with their development. Get it. But Adam, I need your help on what do you suggest? How do you think we should go about it? And here's the deal. That is not a knock on the coaches. I'm not trying to knock them. But I brought that up because I think it's a reminder of why I believe this episode is so important. Because we talk about creating a leadership program in your program. Most coaches don't have a clear understanding, a clear picture of what it should look like, how it should specifically be built, what nuances they should take into consideration, how frequent, how often, all those different things they don't quite know. They do have an understanding, though, that they need it. They have an understanding that they want it. And they also recognize how much better they could be as a program with it. So my hope today is that after our episode, coaches will have a much clearer vision of what a leadership program can look like within their team. I know you'll certainly share about some of the things you've done with your various teams. I'm going to share about some of the unique programs that I've helped roll out with different teams that I've worked with. The one thing I think is important to note, it does vary based on team. Mm-hmm. Okay, so like it is not a cookie cutter approach. It's going to look a little different based on your team, based on the scheduling of your team, based on the age group of your team, how often you meet. I mean, just so many different things. I think it also plays a factor in what level your team is to some degree about how you want to frame it. And I'll speak to that with one of my programs here in a moment. There's a lot of different nuances, but I believe it all starts here though. It all starts with a commitment from the coach. Like, let's not even have this conversation about building a leadership program in your program if you just want to dabble with it. Like, let's not even have a conversation if this will be the first thing that goes when the schedule gets tight, okay? If there's not this level of commitment from the coach, I'd almost say let's spend our time elsewhere because you're not going to get the results you desire to see. It isn't something we can just dabble with and expect to reap these fruits of our quote-unquote moderate level labor, okay? Mm-hmm. We've got to commit to it. Would you agree on that level of commitment being essential out of the gate?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that there's a couple of different ways that we can sort of reframe this, and then we'll tie that back to commitment. So, you know, if you think about most coaches, when you ask them like, hey, what's your mission? What's your vision? Like, what do you want out of the experience of coaching? Like, I want to create better people. I want to create better husbands, daughters, wives, sons, whatever, right? So we want to do all of this work to build people. And then on the flip side of that, so there's this level of, okay, these are my goals. This is what I want to do. This is my mission, my vision of how I want to impact people and how I want those people to go impact or influence other people. And so then when you ask them, like, how do you plan to do that? They're like, well, the game teaches that. The game doesn't teach that. Coaches who teach the game and who teach that teach that. And so when we talk about commitment, the commitment really is to reframe the experience of coaching as I am a leadership and character coach that happens to coach basketball or happens to coach soccer or happens to coach swimming or whatever. Because no matter what, right, without like with the exception maybe of like individual sports like golf or tennis or something where they're not really like, I mean, maybe they could be influencing each other, but it's much more noticeable and inevitable on a team sport. Regardless of which sport it is, which level it is, that's the common thread, is that we want to create better people through this game. But the intentionality with which we study the X's and O's of the game, or we study technical tactical things, or like putting in certain programs or whatever, that same intentionality is not something that coaches generally commit to, especially when conference play hits or the playoffs hits. And then we see the sort of lamenting of, oh, we just have no leadership this year, or we don't have this, or we don't have that. And it's really the question becomes, coach, you do have it. It's right there in front of you. But what we haven't done is develop it intentionally. And so I think, you know, that leads to this sort of phraseology of like coaches sometimes being the least committed people in the room. Because at a moment's notice, we're willing to drop our commitments for the next best thing. That may not include leadership and character, but it's Shaka Smart's Havoc press X's and O's, or it's Mick Cronin's defense, or Alabama's 3-and-D style, right? So in terms of commitment, we ask our kids to be 2 feet in all the time. But we as coaches, like the question really has to be asked, do we model that commitment when it comes to the things we say that we're about?
Yeah, when you say the reframing of it, you brought up a great point that if our goal is to develop people, and understand our goal still is to win games, okay?
Right.
But those coaches that, you know, have evolved and recognized the bigger picture, they've learned this realization that when I grow the people help me win more games, okay? Right? Like when the character and leadership improves, guess what? My results improve as well. So they see that correlation. But from a commitment standpoint, I don't think you can have a greater commitment level than the point you just made, that if a coach gets to the point where they say, I'm a leadership and character coach, I'm a coach of people that just happen to coach basketball or lacrosse or cheer, whatever it happens to be. Because then at that point, it's part of your identity. Okay. And for me, that's where I was going with the commitment in much regard is it needs to become part of our identity of what we are as a program, what we do, how we operate, and what we're all about. It has to become that commitment. And I think if you're not ready to go there yet, you just need to proceed with caution, because I don't believe, once again, that it will produce the return you are desiring if we aren't all in on it. Okay. So for me, with the coaches that I work with and the teams that I work with, we have these conversations. Okay. And one of the ways that I'm able to gauge that conversation with a coach is a simple question. And I know I've presented it to you guys, coach, before and on Lead 'Em Up calls is,
I already know what you're going to say.
Where am I going?
How far do you want to go with this?
How far do you want to go with this? Exactly. How far do you want to go with this? You know, because a coach will sit down and say, hey, Adam, I'd like to talk to you about a leadership program with my team this year. Great. Awesome. Let's sit down and discuss. Let's talk through it. That's one of my first questions. How far do you want to go with this? And I need to get an understanding of the level of commitment that coach is generating. Now, granted, there are obviously limitations of how far you can go with it from a budget standpoint, from a time standpoint, but you're usually able to tell the sincerity and the passion within the coach for wanting to develop the people, okay? And it usually, ironically, comes from a pain point of the past, okay, where, you know, it's just, we feel like, We just aren't getting where we need to go. We're kind of stagnant. I feel like we've reached our ceiling. We need greater leaders to get us over the hump. It usually comes from a place of that regard, which is fine. Okay. But it still builds around this question: what level of commitment? How committed are we going to go? How far do you want to go with this? For me, at a minimum, what we teach and lead them up is that there needs to be a regular, committed, weekly focus on leadership development. Okay. Very rarely will I ever give a pass for it to be every other week. Occasionally I will, but I think in its sweet spot, there needs to be intentional focus where we step off the field, step off the court, take a moment as a group to take a deep breath and work on the other aspect of our team that's going to help us get where we want to go. This intentional focus, oftentimes in a classroom type setting, is where we have a lot of this. I believe in that classroom setting, kids step in and they're already trained, that they're entering into a place of learning and of growth. Hopefully you step in this kind of private, non-distraction oriented environment where we can stop and focus and discuss and work on skills and get our reps. This weekly commitment is in many part where we start. Once again, it's not the end all because it's not cookie cutter. It doesn't work for everybody, but that's kind of the framework of the time commitment we look at, Coach.
Yeah. And I think so. To take that one step further, one of the things that when I'm, you know, out prospecting for new lead 'em up coaches or schools or people who want to work with, you know, me or us, a lot of times we view leadership development and leadership programs in a silo. And so that's another one of those things that whether it's a reframing or just changing the way that even we message it, leadership programming is not separate from what we do in everything else we do. It can't be. Because if we're trying to say that character, and this is the way that in essential coaching, we've sort of reframed character or redefined it, is the repeatability of positive habits. So to put that in context, in basketball, right? If you are forcing the ball to the baseline because you know your help is coming from the weak side and you are not giving up the middle, but as the driver goes baseline, the defender's job is to put their foot on the baseline to cut off the driver. You might have the best kids in the world. You might have really talented kids. But as we see character, if they're not doing that repeatedly, where it's a positive habit, we need them to do it repeatedly. If they fail to do that in those moments, they are a low character basketball player. And so we can apply the same thing to getting assignments in on time, communicating with your teammates, communicating with your coaches, problem solving, decision making, any of those number of things that are positive habits that we want to make repeatable. And so when we frame it that way, it's not like, oh, we're going to have a guest speaker once a week, or, oh, we're going to do these games once a week. It is now we are embedding this into our program. So when you are talking to your teammate, are you using the proper amount of sugar and salt? Can we stop practice and point that out? Or even better, can we embed an opportunity for that to happen in practice so that we can continue to get those reps in sugar and salt, in toaster, like in being ready? In fact, up here working with Brandeis Women's Soccer, exclusively up here, which has been really amazing. You know, I ran into one of their players and she told me they went to the beach the other day. Don't ask me, it's cold up here in Massachusetts. I don't know why they were at the beach, but they went to the beach the other day and they were playing toaster on the beach because they said it was so helpful for them to get into a place where number one, they're loose, but number two, they're ready. And they were just ready to have fun and they were ready to go be engaged. And so when we can ascertain our players' motivations and engagement, and create repeatable habits that get them to that place, that's leadership of just oneself. And so if we are trying to lead others, we can't do that until we lead ourselves. And so it's really not separate. I don't see them as separate. I think having a leadership program is just like having a philosophy of how you want to play offense or how you want to play defense. You embed it into everything that you do.
You bring up a great point, and that's why the program that you choose to move forward with is so critical. because there are some programs that interlock and interweave with the program, with all that you do in such a way. And if someone who may not be familiar, you may be wondering how so. In many ways, language, for example, right? We're teaching language within the leadership program, and this language, these phrases like, I can't speak to other programs. I can only speak to ours because it's the only language I'm familiar with, but lifeguarding, okay? Mm-hmm. It's our theme of holding others accountable. We're lifting them up out of the water back into a safe, healthy place, right? Metaphorically speaking. But you can speak about that term lifeguarding during games on the bench, right? Picking each other up at different moments. You know, we can talk about, you know, how we interact with someone on the bench during practice with that sugar and salt dynamic that you mentioned, okay? We can talk about the mixing board, right? How we show up to a game or show up to practice. Are we ready, right? Is there too much bass and energy? Do we not have enough focus and clarity and treble, right? So I think when you're building that leadership program, that comes into the selection process of what the program will be. I think the best leadership programs can be and are designed to be interweaved into the program, not just something that is isolated, separate, where it does feel like I'm just going through an elective in school, okay, but not that it's part of my program, part of my basketball team. So great side note and great point that although you do meet separately, if you can find the program that's correct, it'll actually feel like an extension. Okay. It's just the off the court time for your team versus the on the court time. Mm-hmm. One thing you said in there that I do want to bring note to in case there was any clarity, you brought up about, you know, if this player isn't repeating the behaviors you are trying to see repeated, that player is a low character basketball player. Just a quick reminder, when we talk so much about leadership and character development, I know athletes think this and some coaches still may think this way. Oftentimes we just immediately associate character with manners, respect. They're a good kid. You know, they have good character. Okay. And I know I've asked that question to players all the time. And they think that, right. When I say, you know, you always hear coaches talk about good character. You know, I need good character kids in my program. What do you think they mean? And they always list off the couple of responses. Mm-hmm. They want kids with good grades. They want kids with good manners that are respectful. They want kids that don't get into trouble. That's what players think when we say character. That's not necessarily the case. I always joke with players, those are the givens. Of course we want kids with good grades and that are respectful and that aren't getting in legal trouble and such. In fact, those are the prerequisites. If you don't have that level of character, you're probably not going to join the team anyways. Okay. You won't be eligible. You'll be arrested, whatever the case may be. When you mention low character, and we're talking about the character traits of these individuals, in that particular moment, that individual isn't possessing the character trait of consistency, isn't possessing the trait of focus and of discipline and of habit building, some of those traits that we're talking about. I just wanted to kind of throw that in there in case someone was wondering, a low character basketball player, what do you mean? You know, that's what you're meaning. Yeah.
And that's where why we define it as the repeatability of positive habits. So focusing is a habit. It's a skill that you can develop that becomes a habit, right? So anything that can be developed through deliberate practice is a skill. And so what, you know, and this is PSA for Lead 'Em Up because we're on the Lead 'Em Up podcast. Lead 'Em Up provides the repetitions for players to become more skilled at focusing or at processing or at listening or at speaking with their teammates or speaking in front of their team. And so when you do it the right way, which, you know, I'm not saying that I've done it perfectly or that you've done it perfectly or any of us have done it perfectly, but when you start to see these lessons take hold and when you start to see those skills develop and that character develop, you start to reduce some of those inconsistencies that plague us throughout the season. Those pebbles in our shoe are no longer pebbles in our shoe. And you start to see some of that qualitative proof that players are growing. And ultimately, you know, when we ask, you know, any of us ask a coach, you know, how do you know it works? I've gotten that question before too. How do you know it works? Well, nothing works until it works. And so it's really about how consistent are we going to be as coaches in embedding this into what we do on a daily basis. And it's not just a one-off every Saturday, and then we're back to, you know, not really taking the lessons from it and applying them.
Well said, Asim. So coaches, if we're talking about building a leadership program in your program, there needs to be this level of commitment out of the gate, right? That has to happen. I think the second thing, it's so important to your point, there needs to be a very intentional focus of the program or of the content that's going to be delivered on a regular basis. I think if you can find a program, obviously we're biased, but if you can find a program that is really designed to be intertwined within the team, within the sport, right, that the things being discussed here really naturally and seamlessly make their way on court, on field, et cetera, that is going to allow this buy-in to be that much greater. Okay, so you've got to be very intentional with the choice of program that you're going to build this leadership program around. And then I believe you got to move into a consistent pattern. Okay, so from a consistency standpoint, let's go back to what I said earlier. We encourage 60 minutes a week of intentional development, right? That is needed on a consistent manner. People will ask, is that in season? Is that off season? Is that all season? And that's where it kind of varies, okay? Because every team has different dynamics. Every state has different dynamics. It's really difficult for us to give a single answer on that. But I believe, or at least we say, you know, leadership is an all the time, not at times or sometimes types of things, okay? It's an all the time. And it's not designed to be in season or off season. It's really designed to be all season. It's something that we can work on all season long. So if there is opportunities to build and to have these intentional moments together as a team during the off season, we encourage you to do that. Okay. Obviously in season, we encourage you to do that. If it can be a combination of a year thing, I think that keeps this theme of leadership development front and center. Okay, it eliminates the risk of those thoughts and this intention going from front of mind to back of mind with our players. And we know when things get to the back of their mind, you won't see it come out very often. So we've got to keep it front of mind, which is why I think an all-season approach is typically the ideal approach. Let me share one example of a team that I've worked with and just how we scheduled it just recently. Quince Orchard Football here in Maryland. If you are familiar with the football scene, high school football scene in Maryland, Quince Orchard, certainly one of the most prominent teams, have won state championships, numerous ones, producing high-level D1 athletes, 14-win seasons are kind of the standard for Quince Orchard. They are a very sharp program, okay? Community cares about them. I mean, this is – people desire to build programs like Quince Orchard football, okay? Mm-hmm. Would that be safe to say?
Coach. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I'll give an example of this conversation that I had last year with Coach Kelly, right? We talked about what can it look like for this upcoming year. This was pre-COVID in this environment. We were coming off a year where we did it towards the end of summer and into the season. We wanted to continue building on that momentum in this following year, which was this past year or past year and a half at this point. And we did an interesting breakdown of how we presented it. We wanted it to be an all season, every season type thing. We weren't going to wait. So, you know, at this point, we reconnected to engage in this conversation around the early part of the new year in that particular time. So their season ended in November, right, as they made their way into the playoffs and championship game. Christmas, holidays, all the holiday season goes through, New Year's goes through. And we reconnected late January, early February to say, okay, what's going to be our plan for this upcoming calendar year? And we looked at it and we said, all right, workouts are going to begin on these days. We'll have, you know, 7-on-7 on these days. We'll have summer workouts on these days. And then we start, and we mapped out the whole year. And what we did at that point was a combination of things, where we ended up rolling out a hybrid off-season leadership program for the team that was comprised of 6 sessions with the team and 6 sessions with a small group of players that we called influencers. They weren't captains, but they were influencers. So once a month during the entire off-season, we were going to meet together with the whole team during the off-season. And then twice a month during that off season, we were going to meet together with the influencers. And these influencers, as I said, weren't captains, but they were individuals that we deemed had the most influence over the program. Understanding that is both positive influence and sometimes not so positive influence. These are just the individuals that the kids listen to, that they follow. And we felt in those instances that we wanted to pour into them because there's a handful of high profile, highly recognized individuals at this particular school and team that have tremendous influence over the team. And we wanted to give them even more intentional development in addition to the team effort. And we also, we were taking the approach that these individuals that were kind of comprising of this influencer group, these are also high-level D1 athletes, okay, that we also wanted to pour into them because they were going to be going in and really stepping into this leadership role at the next level. And so we made that determination. It was a combination of 12 sessions in total, comprising of some team sessions, some influencer session, all throughout the offseason. Then when we got into the season, we were going to move into a weekly 45-minute, each of those were hour-longs, and we were going to move into a weekly 45-minute team session all throughout the course of the year with another 12 sessions during that season. We're talking end of August into November, okay? This was just how we broke it down, okay? And we had a plan in place. We looked at it. It was something we wanted to make sure was very intentional. We wanted to build the themes. We wanted to give players the opportunities to have the reps. It wasn't going to be reserved for just off-season. And when Coach looked at the schedule of how we could fit this in, I think what many coaches would see when they really study it, there's actually a bunch of windows you could do this in. Think about how often kids are just sitting around, right? Like, you know, just kind of before practice, you know, there's these down times where you could find the time. Okay. And we found the time, and it was very easy to find the time when it was a commitment. And when Coach recognized the consistency requirement. And I wouldn't really let him do much else. In fact, I said, you know, if this is something you just want to do once every 3 months, I'm just going to give you the heads up. I don't think it'll be worth the investment. Okay. Because I think we'll find ourselves come September, come October, come November, not pleased with the results of our leadership program, disappointed in the efforts. And it won't be because of a lack of effort. It'll just simply be, what do you expect? Would you expect once every 3 months for us to develop? So, right. So that was one framework, Coach, that we did with a program here of how we laid it out.
Hey, this is Kayla from Chick-fil-A, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. The founder of Chick-fil-A, Truett Cathy, often reminded us that in whatever we choose to do our very best. Our team at Chick-fil-A understands that it's not about success. It's not about the records that we set or the performance of an individual player on the team that matters most. What matters is whether we choose to attack our day-to-day responsibilities with excellence. You see, excellence is found in our daily routines. It's the way that you perform in the mundane or how you respond to failure. It's that decision to go the extra mile when nobody is looking or how to even say no to that thing that's distracting you from your purpose. You see, excellence is a choice, while success is a result. So the question really is, are you choosing to be excellent in everything that you do? As Truett would often ask, are you giving your very best? Why not? Now let's jump back to the episode.
When we talk about leadership being influence, as we define it in Lead 'Em Up, that influence can start as early as you want. And so I would urge coaches when they look at that framework of using the influencer group and being consistent with that and meeting over the summer, most coaches have a youth program or camps that they run. How are they embedding leadership and character education in that? Most coaches have perhaps clinics that they run, or they do something with a summer league or something with a fall league. How are we doing anything with leadership and character in that? Or are we just trying to ascertain how kids have developed their game? Just the same way that we do periodized, you know, strength and conditioning work. How are we periodizing our leadership and character work? How are we periodizing how our kids, or sorry, our players, I don't like using the word kids, how our players interact with each other? How do they interact with the program? How do they interact with the game in order to effectively build themselves year round, just the same way that we want them to build their bodies and their basketball or swimming or soccer IQ year round? And so that becomes a significant challenge when there is that lack of commitment. There is that lack of understanding, not for, you know, nefarious purposes or saying like coaches don't get it, but we have so many windows where not only can we influence how our current players think about this, we can influence the future of our program so that when they get here, they're ready to go because they know this is what we do here.
That's a great point. When I said that it's different per every program, you know, I'll give an example, Walter Johnson football here in Maryland, a team that I've worked with for the last couple of years. To that point, he is a coach that is very adamant about doing the weekly program. We start at the beginning of summer. Okay. Or not the beginning of summer, at the beginning of August. We go through kind of all throughout the season, every Thursday before walkthroughs. Okay. So we take an hour, school's out at 3 o'clock, give or take. We meet from 3 to 4. And then Thursdays, typically Friday night lights. Thursday, they do their light walkthrough in preparation of the game. We do lead them up every Thursday at 3 o'clock on the dot. You know that that's what you do as part of the Walter Johnson football. And he is adamant to have not only varsity in the room, but to have JV as well. And I go back and forth, and I really leave that up to the coach. I usually don't get involved in that decision because I think there's pros and cons on both. Okay, when you combine the entire program versus breaking them into teams, I think the pros of just having the team is, you know, maybe those players will feel a little bit more comfortable, right? Because it's just their group. You can speak more specific to specific actions that have taken place for that team. Usually it's a smaller group, therefore you can get more repetitions where you expand to the larger group, then there's maybe an increase of distractions. But I leave that up to the coach, right? Because I also can see the other side that what Coach Hurd at Walter Johnson is doing, he is making it clear from the onset that when you enter into this program, we care about this. We develop, okay? And it's a standard in their program that you need to be growing as a leader, okay? You need to possess that right character that we want to see in here, not just well-mannered, good, no, the right character as a football player. So he wants them all in there, to your point about just, because even at that point, that 14-year-old, you know, how much are they taking? How much are they truly growing? You know, that's you got to kind of really evaluate to see what type of impact it's making on that 13, 14-year-old freshman. But I'm going to tell you right now, it is being cemented in their mind, the importance in this program, if they want to continue to and get to that point where they have a voice and have a role. They know what is valued in that program. So there's tremendous benefit. Let's go back to Quince Orchard there for a second, because I want to just kind of touch on a couple of different things. You talked about finding gaps and windows of time. You know, we would meet pre-workouts during the off season. Okay. So if they had the weight room at 4 o'clock, we would meet from 3:15 to 4 leading up to that. Okay. So it'd be boom, we'd work out, or we would do lead them up. Then they'd go work out during the summer. They hire a conditioning company to come and work with the team, as many off-season programs. We would meet with the team an hour before they got turned over to the conditioning company, okay, to the group that would condition them. In fact, we'd get praise back from the organization that does all the strength and conditioning saying, we absolutely love that the players come to us right off the heels of your leadership development, because we get much more enthusiastic, engaged, and locked in players. Right, they don't have to corral the players and get them focused the way they normally have, but they get this player that's just focused at a much greater level. And then during the season for Quince Orchard, it would be post film. Okay, so we're in a setting where we aren't on the field; it's more of a recovery day. It's more of a mental day where we're going to combine what we're doing from a film studies perspective. Then we're also going to transition that into spending time to take a deep breath, to talk about us growing as a team, growing as people, growing as leaders. Okay. So there's a lot of different moments where it can be fed in there and incorporated in. And one thing that we did, which was really cool, Coach, was with that influencer group, we ended up doing a add-on every month. So we would get together as the group and we would vote for one athlete we wanted to bring in on that group. And each month, so it started out as six, it went for 6 months during the course of the off season. It started out with six with the plan to have 12 by the time summer came. And we would vote and we would bring that person in and we'd go to that person and say, hey, you know, we've been meeting, kind of doing above and beyond leadership work, and your teammates, they selected you. They want you to be a part of it. You know, they think you've been just doing everything. And we talked about that. It wasn't a secret. All right. We discussed that we were going to be building and adding to it. Once again, kind of speaks to not every program is going to be the same. We kind of created a custom thing based on their personality of their team, based on their culture and their desires. So it does change.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think that's where we start to build that circle of leadership that we talk about a lot, where, you know, you might have in that influencer group some kids who would be maybe identified as red, but we're moving them towards the gray, moving them towards the green. But we start to build that green by adding more pieces that then sway everybody else towards that critical mass. And I think, you know, going back to Coach Hurd for a second, think about the aggregate effect of what that does for the program. When you get freshmen that are in there playing perhaps on the JV team, and they go through 4 years of lead them up, 4 years of the same expectations over and over and over again, and it is consistent, it is committed to, and we are not going to waver from this. By the time that player either is ready to contribute on the field, is ready to contribute in the locker room, is ready to contribute in any way on the varsity team, their contribution is actually something you can see. There's a lot of kids, whether they play on a basketball team that has 13 or on a football team that has 80, that sort of disappear into the background. But what Coach Hurd is really doing by having a consistent, committed leadership program as embedded into his holistic program is giving every kid an opportunity to have an impact on their small circle wherever they are, which is really what leadership is. Not all of us are going to go be a leader in society as a whole, but we are going to impact our small societies in our leader or with our leadership. And so giving them the reps to be able to do that, I think, is amazing. And I think any coach, any level, if you're not doing that, but you say, you know, you want to help develop people through the sport, you want to help develop leaders with character and this, that, and the other, what is the intentional way that you are doing that? And what are you using to ensure that that happens? Because the worst thing we can do is offer that as a pillar of our program or something that is super important to our program, and then we never talk about it again.
Yeah.
Or
which happens
all the time. Or like for me, I am an aspiring Division III women's basketball head coach. One of the pieces in recruiting for me is we are going to be committed to leadership and character development no matter what. We will sacrifice watching that extra 30 minutes of film. Right? That's not a sacrifice for us, because this is more important. This is actually going to help us long term. And in the aggregate, when we're trying to win those margins, an extra 30 minutes of film might get us maybe 0.5% better. This is going to get us immeasurably better, because once we've pounded that stone enough and we know that this right here, leadership and character development, committing to a standard, being who we are supposed to be, that is really what's going to drive our success forward no matter what.
And I celebrate you, Coach, because, you know, when you and I first met years ago in Virginia, you were head coach at the time, W.T. Woodson, then you moved over to South County. When we talk about commitment, when we talk about consistency, you were right on. Okay. You know, I joined you on multiple Saturday mornings where you led and had me participate in lead 'em up sessions prior to stepping on the court. Okay. And there was no wavering of, Should we do it this week? Are we doing lead them up? Are we going to do leadership this week? Let me look at the schedule. I'll get back to you. Like that's not a conversation in programs that are committed. Okay.
It's never just a conversation.
It's not a conversation. Like, in fact, I'll remember, man, last year was COVID year. The year before last year, the last time we were doing live sessions, I remember I had 1 week. I don't know what the heck was going on with me, but I literally lost my voice and it was so random and I could not speak. And I remember calling Coach Hurd, and I'm going to keep referencing him because he is a committed individual when it comes to leadership development. Told him, I don't know if I could do the session the next day because I was like, I'm just giving you the heads up. Man, he wanted me to fight that out to the last minute. Like, don't make a decision right now, Adam. You know, let me know how you feel tomorrow. All right, give me a shot. Like, let's see if it gets better. Man, you know how many coaches would just have heard that tiny little blimp, you know, like, oh, you're not feeling good the day before. Hey, you know, let's not even worry about it. We'll just scratch it tomorrow. Okay. Boom. And we'll move forward. But when you have a commitment to it, you don't just let go of it that easily. He's like, no, we're going to wait to the final hour. Like, if you can't make it at the final hour, then we'll cancel it. But no, we do this every Thursday. Who knows if it's become superstition at this point, but either way, he was not letting us move away from it, which I thought was really interesting. But when we talk about commitment, we talk about the choice of program, really making sure it's a program that really intertwines and interweaves with the program and with the sport. I think it's super important. When we talk about consistency, the last thing I want to talk about, Coach, is the content you cover. The content you cover. Like, what do you talk about in these sessions? Okay. 60 minutes a week. Like, what are you doing? Just finding stuff on YouTube, right? Or, you know, obviously we, you know, as part of the Lead 'Em Up pod, we obviously have a program that we follow. But once again, whether you follow and go through the Lead 'Em Up program, whether you're involved in another program, I believe the content that we need to be focused on is we want to develop skills that are necessary for these athletes to better lead. Okay. Like, we want to develop skills necessary for them to better lead, which is why some of the themes that we talk about, that we've got concepts and teaching lessons and activities all centered around, is obviously we're going to spend a significant amount of time talking about how to be more skilled in relationship building. Mm-hmm. Okay. Once again, there is a skill that takes place, right? We're not just taking this introvert, putting them in the bowling alley, thinking that activity is going to create a closer team environment. No, right. All it does is take that shy, introverted, quiet player who doesn't know how to build relationships and talk. It just puts them in the bowling alley with the same skills, okay, or lack thereof. We want to develop the skill of relationship building, and yes, it can be developed. We want to develop the skill of communication. We want to develop the skill of habit building and focus. We want to develop the skill of how to be a high-performing follower. Okay. Mm-hmm. We want to develop the skill of how to hold each other accountable and do it in a way that is actually healthy, that will be received warmly versus tension-filled. We want to see skills developed, and that content that you focus on needs to be focused on the skills needed for these athletes to develop into the leaders needed to win. What do you want to add to that, Coach?
Yeah, I would say think about the things that drive you crazy about your team. And if you're not working to address them and you're just telling your kids to do it, you're probably not doing right by them. So when we continue to tell our kids to hold each other accountable or to talk or to listen or be engaged or where's your motivation, any of those things that like we complain about as adults, about maybe even this generation, right? We could do another pod on this generation, quote unquote. But this generation isn't any different than another one. It's about the explicit way that we rep, the explicit way that we teach, and the explicit way that we reward the things that we want to see. And so if we're not doing that, we really have no standing to be able to complain because we haven't stacked the deck in our team's favor by explicitly teaching them through dynamic, engaging exercises, not PowerPoints, not videos, not comparisons, where we are, when we're there, how do I, as a player on this team, do that? Because I am not Russell Westbrook. I am not Paige Bueckers. I am Asim Rastogi. I am Adam Bradley. And as the coach of Asim Rastogi or Adam Bradley, I need to know that about my players. And I think that's where it starts. But then, we've talked about it a lot today, but that commitment to not allow other things to get in the way of us doing that. It's almost as if we sort of, and this is probably the scary part, I think, for a lot of coaches, is reframe and kind of take a different path to see what's possible for your team. And professional development for coaches has largely been geared toward X's and O's and skills and schemes and tactics and stuff like that. But that's not what coaching is, right? That's a very small part of it. And so how do we access the rest of it? It takes a little bit of a mind shift, but that's where Lead 'Em Up comes in. That's where, programs come in that can help you do that and show you how to embed it. So not only do we have buy-in, we end up with ownership.
Great point. And as we wrap up here, you've talked a bunch of times, and I love you do this all the time, man, when we're talking, just even non-recording, just talking as individuals. You love reframing things, okay? It's a very popular word that you use.
I do, yes, a lot.
It's a powerful word, right? Because that is part of where I feel like our value comes in so much of Lead 'Em Up. We've just framed themes and frame it in a way that kids get it, right? We talk about the memorable, portable, and sticky curriculum that we teach. I think we've done an incredible job framing it in a way that kids are like, wow, I get that now. That makes sense now. I can do that now. But one of the things from a framing standpoint, if this were to help you, coaches respond well to performance training, right? We need to improve our performance. Well, the reality is a leadership program is a performance tool.
Okay? Without a doubt.
It's a performance tool. I joked about this just recently on social media. We are a performance organization. We just approach it by way of leadership and character, but our goal is to develop players into the leaders needed to win by improving their character. And when they improve their character and have more discipline, more focus, right? All these different things, right? And they become better leaders, getting each other to a higher level. They improve your performance. So if you need to reframe this thought of a leadership program into a performance enhancement in addition to your program, so be it, if that's what it takes, okay? But the best part about it is we improve performance while impacting people, okay? So it's the best of both worlds. Whereas your strength and conditioning program, listen, those muscles will fade, okay? Right? But the character elements that we are developing here will continue to last. And so I think in just wrapping up, always remember our players do the best with what they know. Quote from our good friend TJ Rosine. We've got players that are struggling on leadership development, probably because they don't know how to do what you're asking them to do. Okay. And if we can commit, we can identify the right program, if we can stay consistent with it and not have it be the first thing off the schedule, and we can cover the content, the themes, the areas of need for our players, we're going to see major growth in our program in incredible ways, not just on the court, on the field, but as relationships, as that family environment, the joy within the program, all these other additional benefits. So as I mentioned in the beginning, my hope today that as we were talking, this gave you a little bit of insight, a little clearer of a vision of what a leadership program could look like in your program. And hopefully some of the examples of what it looks like in other programs helps kind of give you some ideas there. You can always reach out to us. We're happy to help work with you to see what it is that you need and how it could best work within your school or team environment. You can certainly reach out info@leademup.com. Asim, if you ever want to reach out to Coach Rastogi, you certainly can as well. In addition to his work at Lead 'Em Up, he also is one of the founders of Essential Coaching, does a tremendous amount of coaching, consultation, and mentorship where he really comes alongside you and really helps guide you and point you in the right direction together. So we want to be a resource. We hope today's episode was helpful for you. We just believe in the power of it. Okay, we believe in the power of impacting young people. We believe from a competitive standpoint, there's a performance enhancement side of it as well. There's so much benefit. And anytime there are that many wins, when things are win-win-wins, you need to pour into those. You need to lean into things like that. So, Coach, appreciate your time. As always, I'm Adam. We are Lead 'Em Up. Have fun and lead 'em up.
Hey, before you go, we want to take a minute and thank our friends over at Chick-fil-A for sponsoring our podcast. Chick-fil-A is not only a place where you can go get a warm meal served with superb hospitality, but it's a place committed to caring for its communities and developing young people. That is part of the reason why we're so excited to have Chick-fil-A on board with us. It's because we share that vision of developing young people and developing people in general into the leaders they can become. So I want to encourage you to go support your local Chick-fil-A. And remember, it is more than just a chicken sandwich. Hey, we appreciate you listening. Until next time, have fun and lead 'em up.